You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's the spirit.
Hello, Peter.
Hello there, Johnny. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I'm good as well, Peter. Just you don't have to ask.
Excellent. Glad to hear your voice. Yep, excellent. So we're holding you to ransom once again to hear more about Mexico.
He's just going on and on about the Mexican travels.
But this is extremely interesting. Is this so you visited the great city that I'm not even sure how to pronounce?
It's quite difficult. I'm going to have a go. Is it Teotihuacan or something?
That felt good. Let's go with that.
Teotihuacan.
The second time wasn't.
Yeah, I apologise to anyone out there who is from Mexico and knows how to pronounce it.
And I gather it's basically a bus ride from Mexico City.
Yeah, it was about 40 km. So yeah. It was about.
But Mexico City is such a vast city that. So it's extremely interesting, the whole issue of the religion of, and you sent me off on a fascinating wander through archaeological and anthropological journals to try and understand the religion, and it seems, depending on who you read, the interpretation that you get of the phenomena. But are these extraordinary miracles available? Can you see them? Do you see them when you're there?
Did you see any miracles, John? Just answer the question.
Did I see any miracles while I was there?
No, the murals.
Oh, the murals, yes. There's a couple. They're sort of digging it out over a long period of time, and there's certain parts of it which are underground or recently discovered that you can see a lot of the I don't know if carving is the right word for it, but you know, like the stone figures, and you know, like different temples have different stuff on them, like the feathered serpent and that sort of stuff. So there is some of that you can see, like the really, really well preserved stuff, which is still painted and that sort of thing. I think they might have locked away somewhere safe.
But on, you don't want it to fade.
Yeah, on the site, you know, there is a lot of stuff that you can still see that's very amazing. It makes you wonder how they did it, and you know, obviously it's taken place over hundreds and hundreds of years, so they've had a while to perfect their craft. But it's incredible. It's so huge, the site, and
and the extraordinary story is that, so far as anybody can tell, this Mesoamerican culture, which came and went, may not necessarily have been a hugely powerful empire that spread across the whole of Middle America. Nobody seems to know how large it was or how extensive. And yet, they've got the resources required to produce these great pyramids must have been enormous.
So I think it's the third biggest pyramid in the world, or the fourth biggest, the Pyramid of the Sun. And there's another one which is basically the same size. So there's two pyramids that are huge.
So that's the Pyramid of the Moon, thought to be. And what else is there? Because, I mean, the pictures look absolutely amazing.
There's a whole lot of smaller sort of pyramids. There's this big road that I think it runs east to west. I think it's the Road of the Dead or something like that.
Yes. And that's the great I think the Avenue of the Dead is what it's called in most of the English texts. And it seems as though religious rituals, and which seem to have also sort of defined the society and the culture, lay at the very heart of what went on in this site. So it is a religious site as much as anything else, even though it's an amazing urban site. Did they give you any estimates for how many people would have lived there?
They seem to think it was upwards of 100,000.
Did you do a paid tour?
At its peak, yeah. Oh. You know, it was like a bus ride, and we had a tour guide who was very, very informed. I can't remember exactly, you know.
That's what you want in your tour guide, to be honest.
Everything that he, you know, told us about the site, but it was incredible. He seemed to think that the people that lived there weren't so much about religion, but they were more about, like, worshipping the elements, you know, like water and
Yes, well, of course, what we mean by religion in that period is quite different from our ideas of religion because, I mean, much like traditional Maori society, the whole process of social control and community and order are interconnected with their view of the elements, so that, you know, what we call in Maori the departmental gods, you know, the god of the forest, etc. I mean, it does seem as though there were these gods in Titihuacan, I'll get it right. But the greatest of all was this great fanged goddess. Yes.
Nally.
So the great goddess, well, you would actually probably know the picture. You've probably seen representations of this with these hanging claws that hang down alongside. And most of the experts, though, I mean, they're working on very unsatisfactory material, think that this great goddess, or the spider woman, as she is sometimes called, was the presiding goddess overall. Was there much said about that in your tour?
Not so much about the spider goddess. It was, you know, we were looking at stuff like the feathered serpent, and there was a really weird carving. It almost looks alien. It's kind of a face. There's a couple can you see that?
Yeah,
you don't go there. Yeah. Big Hungry and I are looking at it in the studio. It's this bizarre, it just...
Looks kind of alien,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks kind of alien.
Yeah.
You know, very strange figures.
Hey, lastly, Peter, I just got an email from a chap. I bought it, something on Trade Me, and at the bottom of his email, in pink writing and like slanted font, in quotation marks, it says, "I know you're doing it, I've seen you doing it, and my message to you is stop it, God." Is that normal for people to tell you to like stop masturbating in emails?
I think I would suggest that almost certainly don't click on any link.
It felt a bit forward. That's like his little sign off, like his little God quote is, "Hey, get off the computer, you little masturbating maniac." But like, it just seemed a bit weird. I've never met this person in my life, and like,
well, it's a way to attract your attention. I've been just deleting emails today. I think all emails are dangerous.
I have to go to this person's house and pick up an amplifier, and I'm a little bit freaking out.
Yes, well, I would be a trifle cautious,
All right, Peter.
Anyway, can I just make this one point, though, about the about Titihuacan, that it seems all the religious observations seem to have had some link with the rising and setting of the morning star of Venus.
Yeah.
And so that suggests that, you know, human sacrifices... went on constantly, and they're always thinking about the beginning, therefore they're probably thinking about the beginning of time, because Venus is seen as the star that rises, and the suggestions have been made that, unlike the Aztecs, who are kind of constantly preoccupied by death, this extraordinary civilization is built around a creation mythology, the beginnings of life, the beginnings of the universe. Very interesting.
Very, very interesting, Peter. There's a few more interesting facts that I would like to chat about on this topic. Big Hungry's just given me the wrap it up.
I can feel the vibes coming down.
It's crazy. The craziest thing for me is that the Aztecs found it and it had been abandoned for nearly 1,000 years. So
I can't believe we talked about the Aztecs for this long.
They turned up. The Aztecs turned up and decided it was where the gods created the universe.
Seems reasonable. I'm not going to argue with that.
Fairly crazy sight.
All right, Peter.
Very good.
Thank you kindly. We'll catch you next week.
Excellent.
Cheers,
bye,
mate.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.